During this past weekend, a number of us were having transcendental fun in the form of a Japa retreat. And a little sharing for those of you that weren't there. There were a lot of firsts. That's kind of like part of the special levity of the whole event. Some persons attending the Japa retreat think of somebody that you know, maybe yourself, regularly chanting three rounds a day. Little struggle to chant three rounds a day, but chanting three rounds a day, and chanted 64 rounds yesterday with all the devotees. And one of the children, 9 years old, chanted 64 rounds yesterday. From one of the devotees, he told me that his mother, who's in India, knew that we were going to have a Japa retreat, and she chanted 64 rounds in India. And many people was a very first time they had attended something like this, and one expressed they found it challenging, meaning it was a struggle to chant so many rounds, but he appreciated that it was internally it was strengthening, felt that there was reciprocation from Krishna by continuing to make that effort. An all around very joyful experience, and maybe one of the most joyful parts was the kirtan at night. I missed. I could tell the energy was. I was very tired, so I had to prepare for today. So, but joyous kirtan. So we're going to have another carryover from yesterday, joyous kirtan, when I finish for the arti ceremony. I thought I would speak this evening from two verses from the teachings of Queen Kunti. One of them directly relates to what we were doing this past weekend, bringing the mind to Krishna, connecting our consciousness with Krishna. And our particular manifestation of that was through Japa. But as many of you know, or most of you know, the name Krishna and the object named are non-different. Krishna and his name are non-different. Abhinatvam nama namino. Such a nice verse. Nama chintamani Krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purnashuddho nitya mukto. And then the last line. Abhinatvam nama namino. The holy name acts like a touchstone. Chintamani. Touchstone is like a mystical stone. Whenever it comes in contact, it transforms without itself changing and can transform and transform. So like a touchstone can change base metal into gold. Imagine if you had one of those. But this is change ordinary consciousness into spiritual consciousness. It's even more valuable. So the holy name acts like that, like a touchstone. Chintamani. Nama. Chintamani Krishnas. Chaitanya. Rasa Vigraha. It's the living force, Chaitanya, of the form of transcendental mellows, loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotee. The holy name carries that once the one who you contact the holy name, and you have the opportunity directly from that one activity to realize not only your spiritual identity, but your eternal spiritual form, your svarup, and the natural love, the mellow of love that's natural for your soul with Krishna, just from chanting Krishna's name. And vigraha, with form. Just as here's the deity form of the Lord. Anisha's not here, but he's from the Houston temple, and their deity's name is also Radha Neelamadav. So I'm sure he feels at home. Radha Neelamadav. But they look a little different. Have you seen Radha Neelamadav in Houston?
Yes.
Perhaps the tallest deity in America. Perhaps the tallest deity. Very, very, very tall, ominous deity with a big pudgy face. Looks like a little boy. Gopal. He ate a lot of laddus. Got a pudgy face. Like a little boy. And Radha. Neelamadav. So the forms look different, but it's Neelamadav. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, perhaps you know this, the Shakshi Gopal story, for those of you that the deity of Madhavendra Puri was named Gopal, and the deity of Gopal appeared in Madhavendra Puri's dream and told Madhavendra Puri, it's summertime in Vrindavan and my body is very hot. Please go to Puri and get camphor and sandalwood paste and bring back and smear on my body, because the summer is very soon coming and already it's very hot. For those of you that are from India, you know how far away Vrindavan is from Puri. It's not a short distance, and there was no train. He walked all the way from Vrindavan to Puri, and as he was passing through near Puri, north of Puri, in a place called Ramuna, he stopped and saw a deity of Gopinath. His deity's name is Gopal. The deity in Ramuna is Gopinath. And in fact, the deity is known, even before he got there, that it's well known they have wonderful kheer. So he was thinking, as he was taking darshan of the Gopinath deity, I'd like to be able to taste the kheer, and just from tasting it, I'll understand what ingredients are there, and then I can, when I return back to Vrindavan, I can make some for my Gopal. But then he thought, oh no, what am I doing? The pujari hasn't even made the offering yet, and I'm thinking, I'd like to taste so I can make for Gopal. What an offender. So he was rebuking himself in that way. He stayed for the arti, and right after arti he left, feeling very ashamed. What a sinful, wicked mind, thinking of enjoying that which is not yet offered to the deity. So he went and took rest in the marketplace that night, not far from the temple. That same night, the pujari of the Gopinath deity had a dream. And Gopinath appeared in his dream and said, my dear pujari, I stole some kheer from Madhavendra Puri and you didn't even notice. There's some pots of kheer and I hid it behind my cloth. So right now, go into the temple room. It was the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the morning. Go into the temple room, go behind my deity form, and you'll find the Kir. And then I want you to go to the marketplace and find Madhavendra Puri and give it to him. It's a gift from me to him, and you're the deliverer of the gift. And the pujari woke up. Imagine having a dream like that. Nila Madhava tells you he stole some of the offering and he kept it behind his cloth for so-and-so das. Huh? So he was astonished and he woke up and took a bath, put on fresh cloth, took his key, because the deity room was locked. Only he had the key. No one could get in. So it wasn't somebody snuck in and hid the Kir. And there he found the Kir behind the deity's cloth. So then he went into the marketplace. Madhavendra Puri, please identify yourself. Gopinath has stolen Kir for you. Madhavendra Puri, you are the most fortunate person in the universe. Madhavendra Puri, where are you? Please identify yourself. Gopinath has some Kir for you. Madhavendra Puri wasn't sleeping, he was just chanting. And he heard the pujari calling his name, so he identified himself. And the pujari handed him the Kir and fell at his feet. Said, I'm the servant of the deity. I'm giving my life to serving the deity. And Gopinath is stealing Kir for you. You are so dear to Gopinath. Here, please take. And Madhavendra Puri had this practice, this vrata. He was a Paramahamsa sannyasi. That is to say, he didn't do madhukari. He didn't go door to door and accept alms. My dear Mataji, can you give me some attar and some grain, some vegetable, whatever. He didn't do madhukari. He would fast unless somebody brought him something. So he had been fasting for some days. But now it's Gopinath is bringing his Kir. So he was with tears in his eyes, tears of ecstasy, crying, and taking the Kir. And he felt ecstasy taking the Kir. It was a very ecstatic experience. This boy needs a parent somewhere. Yeah, that's a fact. Grab him and give him a walk. Yeah, Daddy. Okay, thank you very much. Cute little boy. So, as he was eating the Kir, he started thinking, besides the mercy of Gopinath that had come to him, he was also thinking, as soon as everybody hears about this, they're going to want to come and offer respects to me. So I'm going to leave Ramuna because I don't want that. Now, many people want that. But if you're Madhavendra Puri, you don't want that. He just left before even the sun came up. And he continued on his journey to Puri. And when he reached Puri, word had reached Puri even before he reached Puri. This event that had happened, and so he was received with great honor and dignity and respect, deserving of a person of his caliber. So they made all the pujaris of the Jagannath temple, made all the arrangements for the sandalwood and camphor and somebody to help him carry it and money to pay the taxes to go from one province to another province. And he continued on his way back to Vrindavan, but he passed through Ramuna. And this time, his deity Gopal appeared second time in his dream, saying, you don't have to go all the way to Vrindavan, just give the sandalwood and the camphor, grind some every day, place on the body of Gopinath, because after all, the body of Gopinath and the body of myself, Gopal, they're the same. While you were gone, Radha Nila Madhava and Radha Nila Madhava. They look very different, but it's Radha Nila Madhava. So Gopal, Gopinath, different name, different deity form, but the same. And Krishna and his name are the same. Abhinatvam, nama namino. So, the verse of Queen Kunti that I'm going to read from, she's speaking to her nephew, because Kunti and Vasudev, they're brother and sister. And Vasudev is the father of Krishna. Of course, Krishna doesn't have any father. He's the father of all living entities. Aham bija pratak pita. I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities, including his mother, Kunti. But with Leela, he appears as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So she's looking at her nephew, her brother's son, but because Kunti is on such an advanced, elevated platform of Krishna consciousness, she sees him as super soul manifested in this world. Because super soul is within the heart of every living being. And that's a manifestation. Everywhere present is the super soul. But just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was meditating upon super soul, and then suddenly Lord Vishnu appeared before him, the same as he saw within his heart. Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, the same. Queen Kunti didn't do all the austerities that Dhruva did, but she had the Krishna consciousness that Dhruva did, and she saw before her the manifestation of super soul as her nephew. She explains in her prayers, it's very easy for me to see you as super soul. It's very difficult when you come and touch my feet, offering me respects. But you're the personality of Godhead. That's very difficult. And even more difficult is Mother Jasoda and the love that Mother Jasoda has for you and the love that you have for Mother Jasoda. She carries in her stick a little stick. And you cry because Mother Jasoda is carrying a little stick in her hand and shaking at you. But it's not fake tears. You're afraid of the stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. You who are feared by fear personified. You who are the source of everything that exists, the maintainer of everything that exists, and the destroyer of everything that exists. It's a little stick. And you're afraid. And you cry. And you rub your eyes to hold back the tears because of your fear. That's bewildering to me. Because this is a kind of intimate love that Mother Jasoda has. But those outside of Vrindavan, even if your Mother Jasoda were to speak of the rest of us, it's difficult to understand. It's very, 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 very intimate, very, very, very confidential. The love of Vrindavan. So now the two verses. Just trying to think of this verse today during our discussions at the Japa retreat, but we'll speak about it this evening. Text 41 and 42. 42, this is the verse that I was trying to remember. Prayi Menanya Vishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Ratim Udahatad Adha Gange Vau Gham Udanvati. Sounds nice. Here's the meaning. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Read it again. This is, think of you're sitting down in the morning tomorrow. In fact, you can, if you have a first canto Bhagavatam, you can look at the verse before you begin. Canto 1, chapter 8, text 42. And it's a meditation. Here is Queen Kunti. She has love for Krishna. Here's us. We lost our love for Krishna. It got covered somewhere in years and lifetimes and so much ignorance. It's so covered. But it's there. So we're looking to Queen Kunti, who has love for Krishna. And even Queen Kunti, in this elevated state that Kunti is in, is praying this way. And here's our little voice compared to her strong voice. But it resonates. The Bhagavatam is such a literature that it's for the Paramahansa topmost devotees and the most sinful people who are victims of the age of Kali and everybody in between. It's such a literature. So we may be way down here somewhere. Maybe a little above way down here somewhere. And Queen Kunti's way up there somewhere. And very advanced devotees relish this subject matter of the Bhagavatam in a way that maybe may that become our experience one day also. But even if we're way down here, that the sound vibration is so inspiring and purifying because it's in relation to Krishna, it's Krishna Katha. Our consciousness can become cleansed and awakened like this. So whether you're a small devotee, an intermediate devotee, or a big devotee, it's just a perfect prayer. Tvayi me ananya vishaya. Tvayi means unto you. So she's addressing Krishna. Krishna's standing before her. Tvayi me. So may my consciousness go unto you with ananya vishaya. Ananya means undivided. Or unalloyed. And vishaya, what does that mean? Vishaya. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinam. Vishaya means sense gratification. She wants Krishna's sense gratification, not her own. May my attention go completely unmixed enjoyment to you. That's a definition of bhakti. Maybe you've heard the definition before. It's Narada Pancharatra. Narada Muni says, devotional service is pure. And pure devotional service, it's with something and without something. It's without designation, like I'm American, I'm a sannyasi, you're Indian, you're a householder, you're a little boy, I'm an old man, etc. Without those designations. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, without designations, Tatparatvena Nirmalam, without contamination, Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam. Rishikesha, we know, the master of the senses. Rishikena, the senses. And seva, service. The senses used in the service of the master of the senses. Bhakti Ruchite. Without designation, that means not falsely identifying with the body, but identifying from the platform of the soul. Because we all have bodies, but we also all have a soul. And the soul isn't a designation. The soul is who we are. The designation is I've got one like this. I've got a white one, I've got a brown one, I've got a black one, I've got a pink one, I've got a purple one, I've got a green one, I've got an orange one, etc. That's a designation. Or Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Sannyasi, Grahastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha. Those are designations. We may act within some responsible way, but that's not who we are. Who we are is we're pure spirit soul. So without the misidentification with the covering of the soul, from the platform of the soul, let me use this body in service to the master of the senses. Let me use the senses in service of the master of the senses for his pleasure. That's ananya vishaya. Mayi, twayi me ananya vishaya. Matir, the mind. Madhu pate, O Lord of Madhu. Asakrit. Asakrit means continuously, incessantly, non-stop. I call that the one-pocket program. You know what the two-pocket program is? So much for Krishna, so much for me, so much for Krishna, so much for me. Me, me, Krishna, Krishna. That's the wrong mantra. The right mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Everything for Krishna. Asakrit. Unalloyed. Ananya Vishaya. Krishna is to be pleased. Let my mind go to that place. Oh, Lord of Madhu. So when you're chanting japa tomorrow morning, and the next morning, and the next morning, and for the rest of your life, and eternally in the spiritual world, consider, if you don't know the words, get your Bhagavatam out. If you don't have a Bhagavatam, try to remember the essence. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord of Madhu. Please, it's a request. Please bring my mind to you alone, incessantly. Please, so attract, because that's one of the meanings or the principal meaning of Krishna. Yes, Krish means attract. He is the all-attractive. And there's nothing more attractive than the all-attractive. That's pretty obvious. Anything that one may be attracted to, Krishna is superlatively attractive. Like some people like money. Money, 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 money. And Krishna has all wealth. He has more than Kuvera. When in fact, whatever Kuvera has came from Krishna. He has everything. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything belongs to him. Or some people like they're attracted to beauty. He's a reservoir of all beauty. Wherever there's someone beautiful, someone more beautiful, someone more beautiful, someone more beautiful. Krishna is a reservoir of all beauty. Whoever is beautiful gets some little beauty from Krishna's reservoir of beauty. He is the embodiment of all beauty. And so on. He's all attractive. All knowledge, all strength, all renunciation, all fame. He's it. He's the best. And there's no one better than the best. He has everything. Whatever it is that one may be attracted to, Krishna will attract you more if you just bring your attention to Krishna instead of some little... Prabhupada's example is the glowworm or the firefly. At night, when there's no light, oh, look at that firefly. Zoom, 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 zoom. And in the daytime, it's a bug flying around in the air. It's insignificant. Who pays attention to a bug flying around in the daytime? Because of the light of the sun. Compared to the light of the sun, the little firefly is insignificant. So whatever one may be attracted to in this world, it's insignificant compared to Krishna. And the syllables Krishna include all of that. Nitya Sarva Shaktis, all of the transcendental potencies of Krishna are in the name Krishna. Because they're non-different. Abhinatvam Nama Namino. So she's making this comparison. It's a metaphor. That's a literary ornament. When you say something that you don't know is like something that you know. So something that we know, or it was within our experience, is the Ganges flowing downstream. You don't have to stand there and say, "My dear Ganges, can you please flow downstream?" The Ganges flows downstream. As long as there's water, the Ganges flows downstream. As long as there's creation, the Ganges flows downstream. Let my mind be like that, flowing inexorably toward Krishna with rati. That's in the verse. Ratim udvahatad adha. Let my attraction, my rati, flow to you inexorably, just like the Ganges. Gange vagdham udanvati. As the Ganges flows down to the sea, let my mind very naturally, very pleasingly, very spontaneously, uninterruptedly, go nowhere else but you. To you, my Lord Krishna. Practice in a prayerful mood. Take your Bhagavatam. Hear the words of Kunti. Let the words of Kunti enter your heart. Let them touch your heart. Pick up your bead bag and start chanting in that mood, following in the footsteps of Kunti. Again, we're way down here. She's way up there. That's okay. You don't have to pretend that you're Queen Kunti. You're way down here. That's okay. It's the mood of calling. Another way of similarly saying, it's a different way of saying. Prabhupada said the chanting of the holy name should be done like a child calling for their mother. Now, I'm not a parent, but I've heard children calling for their mother, and I know what the sound is like. Especially when they're lost, it's a blood-curdling cry. And nothing, other parents can go and try to comfort the child and give them a lollipop or pat them on the head, or nothing will satisfy except one thing, mommy. And then mommy picks up the child, a little more sobbing and heaving and all that stuff, and then it's over. We're like that. We've been separated from Krishna, like the child that may be separated from their mother. And it's not a comfortable feeling, being separated from Krishna. It's the root of all of our other suffering. We can try to address this suffering, that suffering, the other suffering, and we're still suffering. It's just a different, perhaps, a different variety. But the core essence suffering is still there, and nothing is going to satisfy. Just like with a child, so with Queen Kunti, so also with us. One of the difficulties for us is we don't realize it. A child somehow innately gets it. This is mommy. And without mommy, you know, there's no comfort in this world. And Queen Kunti realizes it because she is on an elevated platform. She knows without Krishna, this world is vacant. Shunyayitam nimeshena. The whole world, just even passing for a moment in separation from Krishna, seems like eternity. The whole world is empty, vacant, without Krishna. I want Krishna. So we're not intensely hankering like that. We're in this zone that's ignorant, covered. We don't really know exactly what our feelings are and why we're feeling the feelings that we're feeling. What's missing? But we know something's missing. But because of material consciousness, we're looking for, maybe I need some more of that, or I need to do it a little differently, or I need to adjust something. And life becomes an endless series of adjustments of the material energy that never brings satisfaction. We just keep doing it like donkeys, moving along the same path, carrying the same load, doing the same foolish things, maybe in a different way. How unfortunate. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord provides an opportunity to awaken another consciousness altogether. That the holy name is so merciful. But we have very little attraction for that all merciful, munificent holy name. But if we can hang out with Queen Kunti a little bit, associate with how she prays to Krishna, we can get a little closer, although we're far away, a little closer to the mood of receiving the benefit of the holy name. I'll read the translation one more time. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. We spoke during the Japa retreat about distraction, and we all know what that experience is whenever we chant. There's chanting, and then there's what the mind does, and they're two very different things. Commonly, the mind is distracted. We're distracted because we're anticipating some happiness, vishaya, some happiness from the material energy and bringing our senses in contact with the material energy. We've been doing it not just for this lifetime, countless lifetimes, in so many different species of life. And that tendency is so strong that we sit and pick up our bead bag, the mind still goes to those things. And we each have our favorite things. A little child has their things, and a grown-up has their things. And, you know, different generations have their things, and different cultures have their things, but it's something, and instead of something, that the mind just wants to go to. Now we're picking up our bead bag and starting to chant, and the mind wants to go to those things. But our task is to bring our mind to the holy name. So when you try it and your mind doesn't go to the holy name, but it becomes distracted, what to do? So here's a few things. Keep chanting. Because the holy name is, it has its antivirus system. It has spyware, and it gets rid of, it's like an antiseptic. It cleanses the heart of those things, or the attraction for those things. And keep going, and it awakens the attraction for Krishna. The loving attraction for Krishna. The desire at the soul level to be in a relationship of love and service to Krishna. It's natural. From the platform of the soul, it's completely natural. I covered this a little bit in our japa retreat, but I'll do it a little more slowly here. And I'll not go too much longer because you want to have kirtan. I don't blame you. It's going to be wonderful kirtan. Prabhupada explains like this. In Vedic culture, in Vedic times, not even so long ago, he described that his sister was married when she was 9. She didn't go and live with her husband. But when, you know, little boy, little girl, they don't know what the heck marriage is about. Their horoscopes are done, and the girl is married. She stays with her family. The boy stays with his family, but they're married. They have a little nice little ceremony. So on his birthday, her parents say, take him a cake and some sweets and something nice. So it's his birthday, and she brings something nice. And he's taking and thinking, oh, this is very nice. She's very nice. And that's it. And then next birthday, like that, something. So they're growing up thinking, okay, they don't know what being married is, but this is my wife, this is my husband. So they don't have to go through all that weird stuff of who am I going to marry. It's already settled. And gradually, because it's natural, over a period of time, some attachment and forms. This is my wife. This is my husband. Then when they're matured, arrangements are made by their parents. They live together. They may live together in the boy's parents' home for some time. Then eventually live together, separate. But like that, before there's, you don't even know, in Vedic culture, before they even know what it means, gradually, by that arrangement of marriage, it's the attachment forms. Prabhupada was explaining so similarly. In the beginning, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we don't exactly understand what it means. But we're chanting Hare Krishna. And through purification, through purification, the impurities of heart become cleansed. In that cleansed condition, we can start to understand a little bit what's what from the spiritual platform, which we couldn't understand before because of immaturity and being covered. With a little purification, a little maturity, we can start to understand what's what. Oh, this is Krishna. His holy name, and some attachment for Krishna. Not just having fun in kirtan, but attachment for Krishna through that medium of his all-merciful holy name. So keep chanting and try to enter into this mood that Kunti is presenting to Krishna. My dear Lord, my dear holy name, let my consciousness, let my mind flow to you alone, not going anywhere else. Just like the Ganges flows very naturally down into the sea, let my attraction be unto you alone. And then chant. And then you'll see the mind will still want to go elsewhere. But try to take that mood of Kunti's prayer, bring it into your heart. Try it. And cultivate it. It's not just a one-time... These wonderful prayers of the Bhagavatam are such that you can recite them again and again. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even before him, Madhavendra Puri, would speak certain verses, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They would say them again and again and again. And what does that mean? They're entering into the mood of those verses of the Bhagavatam. There's a feeling that goes with messages of the Bhagavatam. The feeling of the prayers of Queen Kunti. Enter into the feeling of Queen Kunti's prayer. If it's good for Kunti, it's good for us. Let my mind ananya vishaya simply see you as the object of enjoyment, of happiness. I'll end with this. Just before coming over here, we came back from the Japa retreat. I downloaded my mail. One very nice devotee wrote a two-sentence letter. The first sentence was, I know that the statement is there in Scripture that says, if you're contented and happy within, then anything that's going on outside, you can easily handle it in a peaceful condition. So he didn't say, is that true? He knows it's true. Then his question was, how do I get there? How do I get to that position of satisfaction within? So much so that whatever is going on outside, I can deal with it in a peaceful mind. It's a good question. Because I had just come from a Japa retreat, so naturally, but it's also our process, one of the answers I gave was, cultivate chanting the holy name without offense. I didn't elaborate. Another is, develop some affinity for or attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam. Because that's another form of Krishna that's especially for this age. And it's especially merciful. And it's very, my devotees, it's very powerful. It's life-changing. Your whole perspective, your whole paradigm of seeing the world changes just by association with Srimad Bhagavatam. It's so wonderful. And this other is same as Queen Kunti's prayer. Cultivate, let Krishna be pleased with everything that you do. Not let me be pleased by everything that I do. Let Krishna be at the center. Cultivate that. And it's with Krishna at the center. Krishna should be pleased. Which is exactly what Kunti is saying. Twayi me ananya vishaya. Matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvahatad adha gange vaugam udanvati. Okay, I've exceeded my allotted time here. Is there any questions or comments anyone would like to bring up? And otherwise we'll go on with kirtan. Okay, looks like it's kirtan. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Yeah.